Well, this morning I want to talk to you about honoring your father and your mother. This is week two, and you may have a slide you could put up for me back there. I don't have slides today because I did not save my work on a USB, and our power went off this morning about 10 till 4. And I was up at 4, but with no power. And so I apologize for not having it saved prior. I usually finish, put the final touches on everything early on Sunday. So, I'm going to be reading out of my phone the scripture here in just a moment, if it can recognize me. Okay. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to be in Ephesians chapter 6. This is week 2, for those of you who may be online and those of you that weren't here last week, this is week 2 of this series called Parent Power. And last week we began laying a foundation, and we're going to continue that today. And what we're aiming at this morning is the fact that teaching our children about honor, that begins at home. And it's one of the foundational truths that will help your child have a better future. Okay? And let me ask you, do you want things to go well in the life of your child as they grow up and develop and are launched into their adulthood? You want things to go well, right? Do you want them to live a long life? I do. Ephesians chapter 6, and I'm going to begin with verse 2. Well, let me begin with verse 1. I'm going to read some verses around this, and we'll hone in. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth. And you fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. Now those are four power-packed verses containing to parent power. But like a laser, we're going to focus this morning on honor. Here it says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you. It's talking to children here. That it may go well with you and that you might live long on the earth. Now, this particular promise, and notice Paul says, this is the first commandment with promise. He's referring to the Decalogue or the Ten Commandments in the Old Testament. The first four are more vertical. The Lord, our God, He's one. He's the only one, the true God. You're to not make any idols or graven images. You're not to take God's name in vain, the third commandment. You're to honor keep the Sabbath day holy, that day of rest. That's the fourth commandment. The fifth commandment, Paul calls it the fifth commandment, the one with promise. He said, honor your father and mother. And that comes from Exodus chapter 20. And there, Moses, when he's given this by the Lord, he says, the Lord's going to give you this land. He's bringing you into this land that He swore to give your fathers, and He's giving it to you. Now, I'm paraphrasing. If you want to live there a long time and really enjoy it, it begins with honoring your father and mother. There, and here's the context. When it's repeated, along with the others, like, it affects all of Israel. You see, the laws were being put in place that would govern an entire nation of people. And at the foundation was, children, honor your father and mother. And the Lord knew that it had to start in the home. The father and mother represented those who already had a history with God, who knew the stories of God, who knew what God had done for their people through the years. And they would pass that on to their children. And their children would grow up under that and memorize it, have it in their mind and in their hearts and before their eyes. And they would pass it on to their children. So honor in the home is part of the foundation that your child will need so that things will go well in their life and they'll live a long life. Now, when Paul repeats this in the New Covenant era, he transports it, if you will, out of the context of just for Israel as a nation, and it's for all those on the earth. In other words, wherever you live on the earth, by honoring your father and mother, by understanding honor and living with honor, it will go well with you and you'll live a long life on the earth. That's the general principle and promise over this that God gave his people. And so there's a sense in which we can say biblically, if we will teach our children to have honor and respect in the home for we who are the parents, then it is going to help set them up to have a life that's going to be more blessed than it would be otherwise. Not only that, according to God's word, they will live longer than they would if they have dishonor for their parents. Now, may I take just a moment to really put some of the fear of God in you? I'm just going to read a few scriptures here. And again, I don't have the slides, so bear with me. Now, I got several good ones here, and I'm going to pick and choose here. We'll start with this one. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocks a father and scorns to obey a mother will be picked out by the ravens of the valley and eaten by the vultures. Post that one on your fridge. Watch those kids start lining up. It's in the Word. Okay. You think you could stand another one? Proverbs 20, verse 20. If one curses his father or his mother, his lamp will be put out in utter darkness. Are you still with me? Don't y'all go to another website online. Y'all hang in here, okay? That's some heavy-duty stuff right there. Exodus 21, verse 17. Whoever curses his father or his mother shall be put to death. In other words, in that context, when a nation is being established and a law is being put in place, in order for that people to survive as a culture and a society and sustain their lives in a land that God had promised on, it was required that there would be no tolerance for a child who cursed their own father or mother or did not honor them. Well, I don't like that. Well, I didn't write it, but they had to live under that. That's another reason to thank God for your new covenant. Now, I want to read it out of Exodus 20, verse 12. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Put that with what Paul taught in Acts 17 when he's talking to Gentiles. He talks about the God who predetermined the boundaries of your dwelling. In other words, just like he gave Israel that specified territory that was marked out, Paul is now telling the Gentiles, God determined where you would be born, when you would be born, the boundaries of the place where you would dwell. In other words, that's where God's going to meet with you. That's where God's going to bless you. That's where God's going to use you. These principles apply anywhere you want to put them to work. Honor father and mother. It's part of laying a good foundation for our children's future. Now, we got different people from different walks of life this morning. Some of you have been parents and now you're grandparents, and we've probably got a few great grandparents in here today. We've got people in the room that's so grateful their children are in church and they're bearing fruit in their life and things are going well, and others are like you're contending and you're warring for a child, and we're just in different places. So the truth is, the truth's the truth, And so, regardless of where you are right now, seize the promise. Regardless of the age of your children, you know, don't underestimate the power of your prayers. Don't underestimate the power of you prophesying. In, you know, I'm talking about in prayer, prophesying, decreeing what God's Word says about the seed that you know you planted in your child's life. And I believe that's part of training up a child in the way they should go. When they're old, they won't depart from it. I think that part of that principle is, you know, if they're older and they're not where they need to be, you take that Word and you use it like a weapon in your hand. Lord, they're going to serve you. They're not going to depart from the way it's in them, the seed's in them. And you contend for that. And those that are in that child molding, rearing those years, it's so important that you get this as well, to lay this foundation of honor. Honor father and mother. If you can teach your children to have respect, that's another way of saying it, and honor for you. Literally, the Hebrew word for honor, the root of that word is where you get the word kabod or glory in the Old Testament, but it's kabed, it's translated honor, and it has to do with weight, weightiness. It's like we might say in the spirit, boy, that person has a lot of weight in the spirit. Or someone who's in a governmental office, they have a lot of weight in that office, a lot of authority in that office. It's kind of that way. In the New Testament, it's the Greek word tamao, and it means to fix a price. The elders who rule well, let them be worthy of double price or double honor, it says. And the idea is to assign value to something. When you honor someone, you're recognizing value in them. Now, there's a general honor that every person on the planet deserves, because the Bible says humans were made in the image of God. It's marred, polluted, and perverted, yes. But there's a sense in which we should value and honor other people because of that. And it has to be a grievous offense, even for a society or a culture, to say, this is so grievous, it's called so much damage, that your life will be required. That's called capital punishment. And that gives you an idea how grievous this sin was in Old Testament terms, of not properly assigning value to your parents. There's a responsibility on the parents, as we read in this passage, to train and nurture your child in the way of the Lord, to raise them up in the nurture and the training, the discipline, the instruction of the Lord. So there's a responsibility on parents and a responsibility on the children. But today, children, honor your father and mother. Parents, if we can teach our children to honor us, to have respect for us, then when they step out away from the home into their life, they'll be able to have honor. So when they go to school, they'll know how to obey their teacher. When they're going down the highway, they'll know how to obey the police officer. When they are doing something legal, they'll know how to honor the judge. The Bible says to honor the king, to honor your rulers, to honor authorities. Paul taught in Romans 13 that the authorities that are in place are ordained of God. And he was writing to Gentile believers in Rome. In other words, God had a plan for human government. God had a plan for how authority would be used to govern people. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. But sin is a reproach to any people. When the wicked rule, there's misery for the people. Now, one good thing about living in the United States of America, you and I have a say in who rules over us. And if I might can step out of my pastoral role here and just speak as a brother in Christ and a citizen, to complain about it and yet not exercise your right to vote, which is the one thing that you can do to make a difference, that don't make sense, you know. That's how we change things. That's one wonderful thing about our federal republic form of government, is we choose those who would represent us. There's an election coming up. Mickey mentioned this 24th. I'm back in the pastoral role now. And as your pastor, I encourage you, pray about. Number one, don't pray about vote and just go vote. Number two, pray about who you vote for. Who you vote for makes the decisions about stuff like what your kids will study at school. You know, what our culture is going to look like 4 years around the curve. It's important. Well, this is just a primary. Well, that's important. And it's I think it's wonderful to see people who are saying they're Christian, have conservative values, are pro-life. I'm a one-issue guy when it comes to my voting. I don't care what the issue is. If it's not coming from a platform that is pro-life, I cannot use the vote I have to vote for agreement with a covenant of death. Because it's a curse. It's a curse. I mean, I'm preaching this morning about honor your father and mother, that your life might be long on the earth and be blessed. And yet for us to want to legalize the taking of a baby's life, that's incongruent to me. I'm kind of one issue. That's because I think it's the most important thing. If let me say it this way. If God were to move in judgment on a nation, can you think of anything that would be more worthy of judgment than the taking of a life while it's in, the baby's in the mother's womb? And that's not to create, stir up wrong feelings. Anybody that may have gone through that, there's forgiveness, there's restoration. But there's also been a lot of ignorance and misunderstanding and a lot of hoodwinking that's gone on. But I really want to see that changed. I pray to that end. I've gone to Washington on a number of occasions. I've spent a whole week up there praying just about that issue. That's an important one. Because our founding fathers, in their documents, they talked about what we've received from God. And it's inalienable rights. Rights that we can't be alienated from. They should always be ours. Life is the first one. So, of course the devil's going to aim at that. He kills, steals, and destroys. Liberty and the pursuit of happiness. Those are non-issues if your life's taken away. So it's a plan of the enemy. And I think it's an honor issue. We should honor the life of a child. Okay, back to honor your father and mother. If you can teach your children to honor you, then they'll honor others. And fathers and mothers need to be involved in this educating the children in the home to honor. You need to model honor before them. Do you know dad, mom, that particularly when our children are small, you are the movie star in their movie. They watch you. They hear everything you say. They hear a lot that you say that you don't think they're listening. They watch how you respond to things. They watch what makes you mad and what doesn't. They watch and decide to like what you like. You're the movie star in their movie. You're a star to them. Don't mislead them. Again, there's no perfect parents here. I've only been one perfect parent, and his two kids took the first step to create the mess we're all still in. And that was God. He's a perfect parent. So don't beat yourself on the head in a prolonged fashion. Just deal with what's in front of you. Grab hold of the truth and go to war and love like you've never loved and pray like you've never prayed and believe like you've never believed. But your kids are watching, particularly little kids. Their values are being formed. And it's important. Are they getting most of their value-based education from you, or is it being exported to them from somewhere or someone else? Watch again. I mentioned this last week, and I may tap on toes two or three times about this. Let's watch our electronic devices, because it gives our children immediate access to the worst the world can offer. And if you don't think the devil won't dangle that carrot in front of them through the internet and through your smartphones, think again, dear friend. And there's apps that you can get to keep that from happening. It's just the culture we're living in. It's rather inescapable. So we have to monitor. Parents have to monitor and stay on top of that. It's very, very important. It's so important for us to model this honor. And you've got to have a standard to teach your children. Now, the first thing is you want them to respect you, which means you want them to believe what you tell them, right? Well, you better be telling them the truth. You better have the right standard that you're educating them with. I wouldn't trust that to the latest book out in the self-help section at the bookstore. There are probably some good ones there. But go with God's book. Nobody's smarter than He is. It stood the test of time. The Word of God is our standard. You remember Jesus when He was tempted, turned the stones into bread? And He said, it's written, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Isn't that interesting? The devil's speaking to Jesus out of his mouth, the devil's mouth. And Jesus basically says, there's a voice more important to me to follow than your voice. I'm going to follow, and I'm not going to allow my desire for bread to cause me to exchange listening to God's voice in order to listen to your voice. I'm not going to do that. He had a standard. It was God's, the voice of God, God's Word. Then he was tempted. Well, if you want what God says, okay. Well, God says you can go up and jump off the pinnacle of the temple, and God's Word says His angels will bear you up. Yep, that's Scripture. He's quoting Scriptures. You know what Jesus said? I'm not going to tempt. The Bible says, I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. In other words, Jesus said, I'm not going to tempt the Lord. The Scripture says it. So I'm going to say what He says about this. I'm not going to allow what you're saying. Listen to me. He's telling the devil, I'm not going to allow what you're saying about this. I'm not going to allow what you're saying to be the litmus test to judge whether or not what God's saying is true. You see, Jesus knew the devil was trying to pull some psychology on him and reverse it, to use how the devil was using the Scripture to prove whether or not God would back it up. You see, what Jesus realized was, no, you don't use what someone else is saying, even someone else is using the Bible in the wrong way. You don't use that as a litmus test to prove what God's saying. You use what the Bible says as a litmus test to determine whether or not what someone else is saying is true. Whether what someone else is saying is valid. That's what a standard will do. It will provide the testing mechanism of whether something is of God or not. So, parents, we've got to be committed to the standard. And as painful as it is at times to do it God's way, it's always less painful to go ahead and do it that way, ultimately. The third temptation, well, okay, if you'll just bow down, I'll give you all the nations of the world. And Jesus says, it's written. He said, get behind me, Satan. In other words, out of here, buddy. It's written, I'm going to worship God, and I'm only going to serve Him. In other words, I'm not going to bow to you as a shortcut to have all this. I'll only bow to God, and as a result, He ended up with everything. And we have access to all good things through Him. See, there's a standard. If Jesus Christ, in His moment of temptation, always went to the standard to provide the litmus test to determine what He would do or not do, then how much more should we? So that's got to help us govern our teaching our children. First, they've got to respect us and honor us so they'll believe what we believe. And secondly, we've got to make sure that what we're believing passes the litmus test of Scripture. Because our children are influenced. Now, I know, I don't want to live in the past, but a lot of times we'll say, but when I was growing up, things were a certain way. And the truth is, there are some, thank God that some of the things have changed to being different from the way it was when I grew up. But there were some things that were present when I was growing up. We should be grieved that they're no longer present in today's culture. When I was growing up, things like this. When you went to school, that's where I first learned to memorize the 100th Psalm and the 23rd Psalm and the Lord's Prayer and the last verse of the 19th Psalm and many of the Beatitudes. I learned it in school because we began our day with Bible reading. After we had Bible reading, we would all stand up and we had prayer and we would stand up. And we all turned to the corner where the flag was in the room. We put our hands on our heart. And together, as little children, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. All the kids said it every morning of every day. Why? Because of the belief that it's important to have a good, healthy patriotism. We ought to be thankful we live where we live. God chose where you would live, where you would be born. And having traveled in 35 or so different nations of the world, let me tell you, we are incredibly blessed to live here. Yes. Now, there are several things that we're very grieved about that need to change. But there's so much we should be thankful for. We can complain about what needs to be changed, or we can pray about it. But we can also be grateful for the things that are in place that are good and wholesome and uphold those. Honor. This is part of honoring. You honor God. Honor country. Honor our leaders. Listen, no matter who's in office, listen to me. The Scripture commands we honor the position. It's not about the performance of the person. In the position, it's the position. We have to honor, we have to pray. If we're not praying for our president, who is? I know you may be praying, I'm praying he'll go on. Well, you know, I know a lot of people are praying precatory psalms, but somebody needs to be praying the Holy Ghost of God would move with power and might and quicken and awaken. And are you hearing me? We're under that command. About the position, regardless of the performance. That doesn't mean we can't point out faults. We're able to do that in our country and not be thrown in prison for life for doing it, which happens in some nations. You can complain about what you don't like. I think there's a proper way to do that. And I haven't always done it properly. And we can vote again. Those are things we can do as Christian people who love God and love our country. But we can also pass this on to our children. Do your children catch you praying sometimes? Have they ever caught you praying? Have they walked in and caught you reading your Bible? Sometimes you need to let them catch you, if you know what I mean. They need to know that that's important to you, that that's part of your life, like I shared last week about praying before the meals. These are things that our children are watching, and they'll do it because they've always done it because we did it. And I believe if we do it right, we'll know that our great-great-grandchildren will be doing it because their great-great-great-grandparents did it and their great-great-grandparents and so forth. That's how we build Christian heritage and have sanctified families, God-honoring families. Would your child say that you spend more time keeping your car looking nice or keeping your hunting equipment in good shape than you do keeping your soul in good shape? I'm meddling again. I'm back at it again. Here I am today. But this is part of teaching children to honor. They're going to honor what you honor. And they're going to dishonor what you dishonor. I had to repent this morning when I'm out walking my circles, praying and getting ready for today and praying for you and praying for the service. And like, because I'm thinking, Lord, I'm preaching this. And the Holy Spirit, you know, kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, you might want to repent about that before you preach on that. Mickey and I had to do some repenting. Because, you know, a lot of the stuff going on out there, if you're not careful, all of a sudden you may be identifying what's wrong, but I can identify what's wrong out there, but sometimes the way I respond to what's wrong out there is just in agreement with the way the enemy would want me to respond so that it would minimize the opportunity for things to change. So, our children are watching. And we want them to honor us. And they're going to test you. Our kids will test us. I mean, and they're different. We had four children. And some of them tested us more frequently than others. I mean, when Carabeth came along, it was like everywhere we'd go, it's just like, well, who was in charge before I got here? You know, she just had that about her. And so, you know, that's part of the message we'll get into not today about educating your child in the way they should go. About identifying how your child's made and what God's put in your child and what, you know, how to groom and pray for that child and help shape that child so they'll excel with what God's put in them. That's important. Children are different. A lot of the principles are the same to all the children, but then there has to be that wisdom of the parent and how to apply it and how to, and so forth. We'll be talking about the difference between rebellion and immaturity and inability and foolishness. Those four areas, they're different. And how you respond to a child is different. If you respond to a child's inability as if it's rebellion, you're missing the mark. And you're going to provoke that child to wrath. You have to discern what's going on sometimes at the root level in order to properly parent. And most of us in the room that's raised children can give you the wrong way to do it because we've done it the wrong way, you know, and you learn lessons the hard way. That's wisdom to listen to somebody. And to listen to the Scriptures particularly. But honoring. And it's more than little ducks in a row, marching to the cadence of what Daddy and Mama's saying, because they're individual and they're filled with adventure and freedom and all this stuff, good stuff that you want to mold and shape. But that's all preceded by establishing the fact, I'm the parent, but you're the child. I'm in charge, and you are not. And in dealing with them, teaching them to negotiate. Showing them, hey, I can give ground on this. We wouldn't say tell them this, life and death issues, but this is not one of those issues that you die on. Listen, we can negotiate. Day before yesterday, we were in Madison. My daughter and son-in-law, they moved into a new house, and so boxes everywhere. And so we're there helping, and there were like five big boxes. And, oh, boy, kids could have so much fun with boxes, you know. And Abraham, he's five, and he was going to build something out of these five boxes in the living room. And Carabeth, Mama, comes through and said, no, we're going to have to take all those outside. And then he's like, but no, I'm going to build this. And you can see the panic in his eyes. I've got plans, you know. And so she stops and she's, you know, they're having it back and forth. And he's old enough to learn a little leverage. And so, you know, that's all right. You want to teach children. And so she said, well, I'll tell you what. You can keep two of them, and I'm going to take the rest of them. Well, he didn't like that. She's willing to negotiate, you know, because he didn't like that. So he starts, you see the tears, and he says, so it's daddy time. So she said, well, you're going to talk to your daddy. So he goes down the hallway, and I'm watching him because I'm thinking, no, this is a movie I want to see. And he goes into his dad, And Dave gets down on his knees. You know, he's there. He's just talking to Abraham. And Abraham's explaining all these plans. You know, I can see him. You know, he's got these ideas. He's going to build this thing. And so, but Mom only says I can have two boxes. And so, in a minute, here they come. And they had negotiated. And Dave said, okay, here's what we'll do. You can have three boxes, but then you're going to have to take those three out on the patio and do your building. And we're going to store them. Abraham's happy. Daddy's happy. Mama's happy. Not every hill's worth dying on. A child can learn how to negotiate. But then there's times when it's like a right and wrong issue, and you've already said you're not going to do this, but they go ahead and do it, and they willfully are violating what they, you know that they know, and they know they know. That's a different thing. But just discerning all that. But the parent's in charge, and that's part of honor, because if they will not honor you, then they're going to go to school and have trouble. If they can't respect what you tell them, when you're raising siblings about, no, that's your brother's coat, no, that's your sister's toy, that's the thing you want to teach them to share, right? But then you also want to teach them that's not yours, to respect other people's property. And you have to do all that at the same time. And your head spins on some days. Because, like, you know, I don't want to mess this kid up, but I feel like I messed up what I do. But just learning to govern that, you know. These are important things, but honor is at the heart of it. Teaching them to honor and respect people with positions of authority. It's like here in this house, and this amazes me. Pastor Doc is my senior. He's been ministry years more than I have. Got more wisdom than I'll ever have. And I so respect this man. I could never call you by your first name. I know it wouldn't bother you at all, but I just couldn't do that. Because he's like my father. I wouldn't call my daddy by his first name. And that's popular today. I don't understand that. Because, but that's just me, you know. And I don't demand that from anyone, but I just think there's an honor thing there. Like, I respect your years in the ministry and the fights you've fought and the battles you've won and the fruit that you've exhibited that and the character that you possess. And that, to me, that's honor. And I think our kids, you know that now people are getting offended by calling them sir and ma'am. I was watching some commercial the other day about some new drug that's out. And, you know, where they show all this happy stuff going on, and that's when they're telling the side effects over here, and, you know, real fast. No studies have yet been done among those, among persons who were assigned female at birth. I mean, this is insane. It's insane. I mean, and some people are offended because, well, you can't call him sir because it may be a man that wants to be called ma'am. There's a standard, and that ain't it. Yeah. You know? Now, if you have the right to be called what you want to be called, but you don't necessarily have a right to demand that I call you what you want to be called. But honor, you want to value people without compromising your values. So, ultimate authority here. Over here. And so, our kids are having to be raised up in this culture today. But I am believing that enough people, that maybe we're going to get past even the political parties thing, and there'll be enough parents to say, you know what, that's not the way I want my kid raised. That's not what we believe at our house. We need some of that Joshua as for me in my house. This is what we believe. And I would even encourage you to use that terminology with your kids. Like, we know that when you go to school, they may say this and they say, but at our house, this is what we believe. We believe this is what God says in His Word. Because there's a promise that we'll be blessed and things will go well with us. Doesn't mean we won't have to deal with difficulties, but things are going to go better for us as a family when we do life God's way. So, honor, respect. Yesterday, Mickey and I drove down. We got up really early and went down to Winston County because today is Decoration Day at her home church, the church she grew up in. And they do that every first Sunday in May. And that's a cultural thing here in the Southeast. They don't really do that in other parts of the country. You know, what are y'all talking about? But it's a time when you, you know, it has, I won't go into the history of it, but basically, when you decorate your family and relatives' graves and you meet there on a Sunday and you have a time together, kind of a reunion. A lot of churches do that. So we go down every year a day or two before, and I take my weed eater, take my tools, take our cleaning supplies, and we clean her dad's grave and her mama's grave, her twin brother's grave, clean the tombstones, you know, take new flowers, fresh flowers, and or they're fake, but they're new. And put them out, and so we do that, you know. And you'll see other people there. We got there so early yesterday; we were the only ones there. But we do that every year. And I watch her write a check for other parts of her family that didn't have relatives and they died. And we help make sure they have flowers. Their graves are clean. Flowers on their grave. It's just a way of remembering and honor. Like we did the Lord's Supper today, we were remembering something Jesus did for us. And so, but it's just, you know, and we were talking about this on the way home and talking about, you know, and some churches think, well, you know, people have some negative ideas about it. But like, I saw the tears start coming down my wife's face and said, you know, it's the least I could do. Give a couple hours of my time to go clean my parents' grave off and to think about them and honor them and remember them publicly in this way. We need some more of that today. We live in Western culture where there's so much self-importance. All of us stumble and trip up over some pride and arrogance and selfishness. We want to raise our kids to know what it means to serve and to sacrifice and to be thankful and to be grateful. Who was it? Shakespeare and King Lear's, the play King Lear's talk about. How does it go? A thankless child is like a serpent's poisonous fangs. You know, nothing so poison. More poison than a serpent's fang is a thankless child. We have to teach our children to be grateful. I want to encourage you to do this because we're rounding third, about to slide in home here. But I'm going to give you some homework. Intentionally this week, begin to teach your children about ways to show respect to people with authority. When we were coming back from the cemetery yesterday, we stopped at a McDonald's, and I walked in, I opened the door to the men's restroom, and here was a man like between 85 and 95, I would gauge his age. He was on a walker, and he was about to come out, so I moved back and held the door open for him. I saw his cap on. He had a baseball cap on. It had veteran Navy, told where he served when he served. And he was making his way. I pulled that door back. And while he's coming by, I said, "Sir, I want to thank you for your service to our country." Yes. And he stopped and he looked up at me and he said, "Thank you." I could tell it meant something to him. But see, that's the way my daddy and mama raised me. I mean, I sometimes will have ladies say, "Don't call me ma'am. That's my raising. Have some manners. Open a door for a lady." Be thankful. Be grateful. Don't you want that for your children? Who's going to teach them that if you don't teach them that? I want you to spend some time this week also. Begin making you a list. Try to aim for 10 things this week. Make a list of valuable lessons you learned from your parents.
"Well, you don't know my parents. I didn't learn anything from..."
Well, you can be thankful they decided to have you. Start there. Maybe you can think of some valuable lessons you learned from seeing them do it the wrong way. I don't know. But most of us, we can come up with some things like, "My parents instilled this in me, and this helps me. So I'm going to share this story with my children. what my daddy taught me or my mom taught me. I'm going to share a story about it. And in teaching them what I've received, what I've been taught, I'm teaching them so that they can get it. Make you up that list. I started that. And my daddy taught me. And I write down things like my daddy carried me squirrel hunting when I was just a little boy. You know, spending time with my dad in the woods. And my parents taught me the relationship between responsibility and privilege. That if you want certain privileges, you have to exhibit certain responsibility. For me, it was chores. I think chores are a great idea. When I came home, I mean, from the time I was in elementary school all the way through, at least once a week, I had to vacuum the whole house. My bed had to be made. Wintertime, I had to go out with 2 5-gallon buckets, one for a long time, till I got where I could carry two, fill them up with coal, come up and fill a coal hopper up in our furnace that heated our house, take the clinkers, the ashes out, had to do that, had to mow the grass, and I had other things I had to do. But here's the deal. When I did them, then I could go do this with my buddies. I could ride the loop on Friday night. I could go to the ball game. I could go to the swimming pool. But if I didn't do those things, I wasn't going swimming. Today, no, you won't play on the Xbox until that bed's made. Until the trash is carried out, no, you're not going to the baseball game tonight. And stick to your, I started to say the wrong word. Stick to your values. That works. Teaching them responsibility opens the door to privilege. Just like humility and honor opens the door to promotion. Dishonor closes the door to promotion. Pride closes the door to promotion. Isn't that the way it works? If you work for an employer out there and you're misrepresenting him and you're trash-talking him all over the office, and it's time for somebody to get a raise, you think it's going to be you? But if you're representing the company well, and you're working hard, and you're speaking well of your employer, and you're being a good employee, then the door is open for you to be promoted. You learn this in the home. Or we can learn our children to be entitled. Well, I can't believe they didn't start you tonight. Or I can't believe that the teacher didn't choose you. No. Responsibility and privilege. Just keep trying hard. Do your best. If that teacher doesn't recognize you, another one will. You'll be recognized. You can trust God. He will exalt you in due time. Because sometimes it's not being able to advance, not being able to move up, or not being selected that you learn persistence and perseverance. And then when it comes, you're really grateful. But we're the, let's do it quick, let's do it fast, let's do it easy, and let's do it all. And everybody gets a trophy. That's not even true in heaven. Let's stand. You make that list. I'm going to ask our altar workers to come forward. Now, I hope you've been challenged. I know we've had some fun too. But this really is a serious matter. And some of you are really hurting when it comes to some of your children. And we need to be the kind of church family where we covenant together and we agree together. Do we want to see everybody's child in this fellowship where they need to be with the Lord? Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep. War with those in battle and help encourage and nurture those that are needing rest. Let's be that kind of friend with one another, that kind of brothers and sisters together. Because what we desire to do here at Grace House is have this kind of culture here. to have a mutual respect and to value one another and value God's house and God's property, just like we want to teach our children to respect and honor those things in the lives of, in their day-to-day stuff, and it's, you know, wherever they may go. Let's have a close-knit, heart-to-heart community that are saying, you know what, this is who we want to be. We're committed to this. I believe we can make a difference in this Tennessee Valley. I believe people are hungry for this. I know we need it. So, Father God, this morning, You know the needs of all of our hearts in this room. And I ask You to begin to encourage that discouraged parent this morning. I pray Your Holy Spirit would strengthen them with Your might, with Your power. I pray, Lord, they'd feel Your strength and Your peace and Your presence right now just coming alongside them. And Lord, as they're humbling themselves and making commitment, grace them, I ask, in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, if there's someone here that doesn't know You as their Lord and Savior, may this be the day of salvation for them. Those, Lord, that have been tempted away from the faith by some means, may the voice of the enemy be recognized by them, and may they recommit to Your standard, Your word, Your ways. And I thank You, Father, that You're a good Father. I thank You for the power of Your word. Thank You for the privilege to be here today. We're going to begin to worship a moment. If you're in need of prayer, just step out right now. Come on up. I'm going to be dismissing you in just a moment. But we want to take the time. We'll stay ever how long we need to pray with people up here. But please, between you and the Lord, think on these things. Ponder them. Step into them by faith. Let's be a culture of honor. Honor God. Honor country. Honor parents. Honor authorities. Honor one another. Lord, thank You for being a good Father. And we want to seize this promise today that things will go better for us if we honor our father and mother. So we want to model that. We want to live it out. And Lord, if there needs to be some repenting, let there be repentance in this place. If there needs to be confession, let there be confession in this place. Lord, changing us what needs to be changed. And may there be a yes on every heart that You challenge here today to live life Your way. Yes, Lord. My heart's saying, yes, Lord. Would you just step out if you're needing prayer? Right now, in this moment, to step out and come forward, anyone. These will remain up here, but in the name of Jesus now, may God's grace be upon you. May His wisdom and His knowledge and His spiritual understanding fill you to overflowing. May His fruit adorn your life, His gifts flow from your life. May you have authority against every strategy of the enemy, against your marriage, against your children, against your family. May you be well armed, anointed, children of the Most High God, who go forth to conquer. In Jesus' mighty name, be blessed. Be blessed. May the gifts in you be awakened. May revelation knowledge be given you. May you see what you couldn't see before. Hear what you couldn't hear before. May you be courageous and do what you didn't do before. All for Him, His glory. In Jesus' name. Now, let's go forth and change the world. And let's start in our own homes. In Jesus' name. This altar's open for any who need to come. Thank you so much for being here today. Let's give the Lord a hand, an amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for those online. God bless you.